Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Today's episode is brought to you by Macy's, and you could join Macy's and Girls Inc. to empower a new generation of leaders now during Women's History Month. Throughout March, you could help fund STEM, S-T-E-M, and college and career readiness programming for girls when you donate online to Girls Inc. or round up your purchase. Plus, shop women-owned and founded brands like Cali Cosmetics, New Face, and Better Not You. I've actually really been wanting to try New Face. So since they are doing this promotion, I'm 100% going to buy this month because I kind of want to get my face snatched. And what better than supporting women? So you can learn more and celebrate the creative power of women now and all year at Macy's.com/purchase. And if you want to shop any of my Macy's selects, it's always linked in my bio so you could check out everything I wear there. Let's get into today's episode. Welcome back to Listen Lex.
Woohoo!
Hi! Oh my God, what a week. What a week. And thank you guys so much for all of the feedback from last week.
I know. This was like, I loved this launch week.
Me too.
And I really have to give a shout out. Everyone was very positive and like very excited to see us podcasting. Well, I can't speak. To see us podcasting together. And like, we have so much fun doing this. Like you just said, I'm so excited to just like chit chat for an hour. Mm-hmm. That it's so nice that like other people share that sentiment because I'm really enjoying myself.
No, me too. I was really, really pleased with the feedback, especially because like making a change is always a little scary. But people were so positive and I feel like everyone really liked the dynamic. And we have such a robust episode for you guys today.
It's not okay.
There's a lot on our list.
Like, I just think that we have a lot going on right now.
We both personally have a lot going on. And then I also feel like the pop culture and industry news world isn't sleeping. Like, they are, there's so much happening right now. So we will do our little intro and tell you guys about our time at the Oscars. But then later, we are going to dive into the topic this week of women in the workplace. We want to talk about some industry news. And we also want to talk about pop culture. Obviously, everything's going on with Kate Middleton.
I mean, yes.
So we'll get to that.
I had to. I wrote you and I was like, I made this video. It was like a long, it was like a 4 minute TikTok.
I watched every second.
I was just like, I need to recap exactly what's happened and where we are and what it means. And I'm like, you got to put it on the Listen Lex Instagram because I feel like it's important context.
It is.
That like we need now because I just feel like more is going to happen.
And
in the
I feel
next
like we
hours.
Can't record these podcasts fast enough because of the amount of updates that come out.
I genuinely, when I was walking up here, I was like, we got to start doing like two of these a week.
It's so tough. It's hard like, to get the info
time.
Out. I know. And so we'll talk about that. We'll talk about the Oscars. We'll talk about the Traitors and some other important celeb news and stuff like that. But for today, let's just shoot the shit a little bit before getting into today's topic.
Love that.
And we went to an Oscars event yesterday.
We did. We got all gussied up and we went to, it was an official Oscars party at the Academy Museum. And it was very amazing. Meta and Threads invited us. We went, there was another, like there was a bunch of us sort of like pop culture content creators, which always makes those events really fun.
Yeah, especially because they're like the group of people that were invited are the people that I feel like I know really well and are so just like nice and there are people I would hang out with even if we weren't work friends.
Exactly.
So it was nice.
And it's just like you get to go to this beautiful event with your friends and like get all dressed up. I mean, we always say like I had so much fun getting dressed up and ready to go and taking all the photos. They had such cute activations too.
Oh, I had like the time of my life getting glammed. I really, adore getting glammed and feeling girly and just being mm-hmm. in my feminine like that.
I know. It's so weird. Like, I was doing my makeup with the little hair rollers in, and I was just like, wait, this is so much fun.
I'm such a girl.
It's such a girl.
Yeah, I really enjoy it. But then we were laughing because the two of us are very similar with our take on events, because all this goes without saying, I am so, like, blessed and grateful to be invited to any event that I go to, especially anything specifically in the entertainment space, like having mm-hmm. the opportunity to go on a brand trip with Netflix last weekend and then go to this Oscars event. Like, that's really, to me, my biggest, like, career achievements. Like, those yes. are really important.
They're and big meaningful moments
to me. But we were laughing because we, like, I love the event. I love going. And then I'm like, I want to go home and sit on my couch.
You hit a wall. Like, that's how I feel. It's like, and again, there is, like, all the fun and excitement and, like, the rush, adrenaline, I guess is the word, of getting ready and getting there and taking all the photos and talking to people and seeing them. And then there's, like, a point in the evening when maybe, like, 4 or 5 hours pass and you're just like, oh, I'm crashing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not crashing like I was super caffeinated or hyper and now I'm, like, tired. Mm. It's just, like, I'm ready to be home, you know? Yeah.
And
my feet start hurting. Oh,
the dogs are barking. The dogs are barking. And I feel like we do events the same way because, like, we got there. We're both timely.
Early.
We got there early. We got in line for the photo op. And then we were famished and they were passing around Shake Shack burgers. We, like, housed burgers. Like, we were just on the first same
chase
speed.
Down the woman for yeah. the burgers.
Right. Oh, I have a video of you running, like, with the burgers in your arms like this.
I was just like, we need sustenance. But yes, we're very similar and on that same wavelength, which works. It's like, get there early, bang out the content, have a seat, collect yourself, and then the event begins.
Yes, because I feel like even during the event, people were still trying to get photos and stuff, mm-hmm. and we're like, oh, we got that over with.
Exactly.
Like, now we're just here to enjoy our
good.
Evening.
We got to our seats to see the monologue, yeah. everything like that. I think, like, we did it right.
We did do it right.
But then we also were like, okay, there's an hour left of the show. We got to go home.
Yeah, I'm like,
it's time.
I'm tired. I have to work tomorrow. So Sean was leaving Sunday to go back to where he lives, and it's so weird. I realize, like, now that I'm doing this podcast, I feel like there's so much, like, about my relationship that I haven't really said. Like, I don't think people know he lives an hour and a half away from me.
Oh, yeah. I mean, if people don't have context, give them the context that you're comfortable with.
Yeah. So Sean just recently moved an hour and a half outside of LA.
Yeah, you're in an LDR now.
Yes. So, I mean, we still see each other. It doesn't stop us. But he was, like, waiting Sunday to go back late until the traffic died down, because mm-hmm. it could be an hour 15 or it could be 3 hours yes. with the traffic in LA. So he was, like, sitting here, and, like, I didn't think I'd see him Sunday because we're, you know, at
yeah,
the event.
We were talking.
And then we wound up leaving early. And when I got home, he was still here. I, like, walked in on him, surprised him, and he was shook. And he was like, you want to get pasta? And I was like, you're talking dirty to me.
Like, I saw you post on your Instagram stories that you went for pasta. And I was like, first of all, I was so exhausted. And you know what's going on with me with work that is just, like, very energetically draining. But, like, I went home and my brain was so tired. I couldn't even figure out, like, what to eat. So I just ate. I started the day with a block of cheese. Yeah. I ate the Shake Shack burger. Then I had those, like, cheese twists
from
Trader Joe's. I just ate, like, a box of those. But I saw your pasta and I'm like, how did this bitch go out for a full meal?
Because, like,
tired.
I thought he was going to be like, all right, good to see you, babe. I'm going home. And when he said,
no,
do you want pasta? I was like, it is Sunday and my Italian soul is, like, screaming.
Yes,
like,
of
that
course.
Is our love language on a Sunday. And
exactly.
the fact that he, Mr., like, doesn't, like Italian food as much as me, suggested it. I was like, I'm not passing up on this opportunity. So I threw my hair up in a ponytail. I was in this exact outfit that I'm wearing now, like, biggest sweatshirt I own, leggings, and I went out in full glam.
I know.
And I ate fucking pasta. And it was
so
good.
But see, I also think that's cute. Like, you had a little spontaneous date.
Yeah.
And it's like, you didn't expect it and you got, like, an extra chunk of time together.
Yeah.
And I know you guys get a lot of time together, but I'm just saying, it's like, those are the little cute parts of the relationship that mm-hmm. I love hearing about. And, like,
no, it was so cute.
It's so nice. And your pasta looked so good.
Oh my God, guys. If you're in LA, it's called, I just assume it's pronounced Uovo. I don't know if that's correct. It is Uovo.
It's so good.
Every single ingredient is imported from Italy. The pasta is handmade. They have handmade gluten-free pasta. It doesn't even taste gluten-free. The best tomato sauce. And, like, Italians know.
Yes.
You don't get tomato sauce on menus because you just know it's not going to taste as good as, like, your grandma's or your mom's. Mm-hmm. This is better than your mom's. Like, it is the best, like, I can't wait to take my parents.
Really?
So, yeah, it's really so delicious.
I love it there. It's also really nice on, like, a Sunday afternoon because they open everything up. Mm-hmm. And then you can, like, sit there. The one that we go to.
The
like,
sun was setting.
Yeah, like, you sit there. You're having, like, a nice glass of wine and a bowl of pasta and good conversation. It's just, like, a really...
It's a vibe.
Yeah.
And we were at the bar and they were cooking in front of us.
Oh, I it was, love like, such sitting a, at a yeah, bar.
It was such a cute, like, Sunday thing. I was like, this is adorable.
Yes. Maybe you can make it a tradition.
I know.
Maybe I can come.
Please, we would love to have you. One thing before we move on past the Oscars that I want to... Actually, there's two things.
So, there's so much more.
The one thing is, the second we walk up, we're like looking around, like in our dresses, figuring out where the line is to enter. And what was it? Did they just approach us?
So we were rounding the corner trying to get into the Academy Museum. But the entrance we were trying to get into was closed because they were taking us around the back. So while we were trying to get into the entrance, this family, this amazing family walks by from PEI. They were Canadian, which, you know, warms my heart. And they just spotted us. And the mom, it was two, a mother, a father, and I think like their aunt or somebody.
Wait, two kids.
And then two teenage girls, right? They had to be like, what, 15 or 16?
Yeah, they were young, I think.
And so the mom stops us and is just like, who are you girls? Like, what's going on here? And we're like, we're just
guests.
Like, we're just going to this event. But they thought we were famous people.
We think they must have because they were like, no, she said, she goes, I guess this counts as seeing famous people in LA. And keep in mind, like, granted, we both have small social media followings. I don't think they knew us from that. Like,
They
just thought because we were so dressed up, in their head, they're like, this is Hollywood.
Exactly. Like, they're like, you just stumble upon famous people at every corner in Hollywood. And so here are two famous people that we stumbled upon. But then the mom, we have a small conversation. We're chatting. They were really lovely. Canadians, always lovely. And then they're like, the mom comes like kind of again back to us and she's like, can our girls get a photo with you? They want a photo with you.
Or like, do you know if they're taking a picture with like no one? Just like random women on the street dressed
and,
up.
This wasn't, so then finally the mom, like we're like, okay. And then the mom's like, okay, girls, go, get in the picture. And like, the girls were not like, mom, you're embarrassing us. The girls wanted to be in the photo.
Yeah, because that's what I said. I pictured the girls to be like, mom, stop. And like, they were down.
They were down.
So now we just like two random teenagers from Canada just have a picture with the two of us probably thinking we're someone we're not. And we just kind of rolled with it. We're like, all right, if you want a picture.
She was full mom mode because then she also took pictures of us, just the two of us. She's and like, she kind of ate.
Yeah, she ate. She's like, the leggings beautiful, girls. We're like, oh, thank you.
It was amazing.
It was really funny. And then the worst happened.
I know. So then we got in the line. Oh my. Okay. These things, like, again, just our energy being in alignment, like, these things happen, and we both have the same reaction, because we were getting in line, we're walking in, and there were two ways that the line, there were two sides of the line, okay? So we were coming in on one side, and on the other side, there was another line. There was this elderly woman who looked gorgeous. She was stunning in this beautiful gown. She had on these, like, flat boots that they were, like bejeweled, sparkly boots. There was a small step on their side of the entrance. And, like, I can see how it could be a hazard because it was very small. You couldn't blink and miss
it. I didn't even see it, really.
I saw it. And this woman, she goes to walk in and she trips and she fell, like, face.
We just...
First flat.
Yeah, we hear, like a thump or something. And I look and this woman is, like... Face down, not moving.
Like her, I remember distinctly her hands like were under her head, but like she was not even shaking.
She wasn't like, you know, you fall and you hurt your knee, you grab your knee, you fall and you hurt your ankle, you're like, ow, my ankle. She was,
cricket.
It was silent. So then I'm like so vocal, you know me. So I'm like, oh my God, did she faint? Because I thought she fainted and that's why she hit the ground so hard. But like no one was like really rushing necessarily.
Exactly.
Like the people around her were helping. But
so the one thing that was strange was no one was really helping her. The people that were ushering us all into the Academy Museum just like made a circle around her. And then finally her friend was like, got bent down over underneath. With her.
Because I was like, why is no one, part of me wanted to like go run up to her and get down on her level and be like, are you okay? Are
yes.
You? And then like, we could laugh about it now because like we saw her like walking and okay.
And she had a great time.
Later.
Yeah, she looked fabulous.
But the amount of fear that she instilled in the two of us, we were like, she was giving what like one day should have given. Like, the fear I felt is what yes. I was hoping to feel in that car correct. Scene.
That's exactly what it was. The way she, and of course, not the way she acted, the way she portrayed woman falling at event.
She was, didn't portray it. She really fell.
But, like, that is what I expected to see during one day. And that's where my brain immediately
like,
went.
We were like, if only. What's the Emma? What was her name in the movie?
Oh, I can't
in
remember.
In the show? Whatever.
Too much has happened.
Whatever her name was, Emma or something. I'm like, if only she could have. Like, this woman almost gave me a goddamn heart attack. Like, I, also, just, like, I felt this immense amount of, like, I wasn't embarrassed for her because I don't care. Like, people fall. I felt what she must be feeling, like yes. the embarrassment yes. that she must be feeling laying on the ground and having all the eyeballs on you. And I wanted to crawl inside of a hole.
Like, see, I was just like so scared because the way she didn't move for a hot 30 seconds.
It was scary.
Was concerning. Like not one jolt.
And then luckily we saw her. She got up and then we see her walking around. We're like, oh.
Yes.
Thank God.
And like, they brought her over to a seat. They yeah. gave her water. She was good. And then we saw her get up. And like, well, I was going to start applauding like an athlete that fell. Like,
I wanted to go up to her.
I know. And honestly, though, she looked so good. I'm so glad. Not even a bruise. Not even a
I was
scratch.
About to ask for a sip of her water. I was so thirsty. I was like, can I get a sip of that?
It was a long day.
But it was crazy. Like, that's just some of the stuff that happened, but overall it was so fun. And one thing,
so much fun. And I saw that hot guy.
Oh,
this is one thing that my girlfriend, she scolded me for because I told her that we left early. She was like, "You should have stayed and like lingered around
to like for men, for the hot men."
Yes, but like you know when you're not in the mindset.
Mm-hmm. You're so like, it's a Sunday.
And I had to go home and do work. Mm-hmm. But like, I just was like, not in the mindset, but I'm like, she's right. I do need to be better, especially when I put all that effort
true.
In.
True. Like, you're dressed up.
Yeah. And I looked good.
Great.
Yes.
And that guy was hot as hell.
I know.
We saw the hottest man. He was like really tall.
His pants were a little short.
His pants were short. But maybe it's hard for tall guys to find pants.
God, he was so hot. If I'll see him again. We're manifesting.
If that's their biggest problem, that tall guys have a hard time finding
I
pants,
know.
Like,
I can
F
buy
you
new pants.
Yeah. I'll hem them. Like, I don't care. Speaking of short pants, did you see that capris are making a comeback?
Yes. What are your thoughts on these? I'm an athletic girl, but specifically, I have a thick calf, okay? Like,
in boots a wide calf.
A wide calf. Like, I'm a runner. I was a gymnast. I have a lot of muscle in my calf.
Mm.
And so a capri really accentuates the calf for me.
So I feel the opposite. I actually have a great calf.
Wow, go on.
No,
go.
I say to Sean, I have killer calves. Like, they are okay. They're muscular and nice.
Mm-hmm.
My issue is I have a fat thigh.
Mm-hmm.
And so I feel as though if I were to wear capris, I would be giving that, like, who's that guy from the movie with the wide, he's animated. He has, like, big thighs and little peg
Gaston?
Feet.
Gaston?
Some guy.
Berries and cream?
I think he's from, like, the Minions movie.
But oh, okay.
I am giving him, like, that's why I don't wear flats.
Really?
Like, I'm not trying to look. Flats give me like hoof energy. And I feel like if I were to wear capris, I would be so like triangular.
Yes, yeah.
But I've seen them styled on some people and like they're a vibe. I just don't think they're my body type.
Okay, so
vibe.
Here's something. I wonder if we both try this and see how it works. Because I did see one video of a girl and she's in the capris and I do remember this specific style. And they're almost like cut at the bottom. So they almost have like a little flare out right above your calf.
Mm.
And I'm like, I wonder if that would make my calf look, instead of it being tight, you know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like if that would make my calf, because like I don't like, it's just, I have a big calf and like even putting on like zipped up boots are hard
for
me.
Yeah, yeah. I just don't know how I would style said capri
But I gotta go full 90s.
I'm down to try.
Yeah.
I love a trend.
A kitten heel.
Yes.
A kitten sandal.
It's very 90s.
Yeah, like a little Married with Children energy.
I never thought they'd be back, though.
Neither did
I. And I know things come back, but I was like, these are the ones that we've said goodbye to. Yeah. For good.
I know. It's here.
The last trend that's making a comeback are wedges.
Love.
Well, for like the balls of my feet are thankful.
Yes. A wedge never went away for me.
They went away for me.
I love a wedge. Again, I'm a short person. Also, I love the how it levels out the balance of like a platform or a heel. So you're not like just on the ball of your foot. I love a wedge. And I love these Chloe wedges that they were all wearing at Fashion Week. Like,
Me too. And they're also, a wedge is the superior heel type.
Yes.
Because they're the most comfortable. They have the most support. You're not wobbling around. You're least likely to fall. You're kind of strapped in.
I know.
They are superior.
And you could just go for hours.
The thing I don't love with a wedge is like that Vegas look where it's like wedge at the pool party.
Yes. Which I'm guilty of. I've done that in Vegas with a wooden, like a cork.
Yeah. Like the wedge with the bathing suit. I don't know.
I've done it.
I'm not going to lie. I think I've done it as well. But like, I think there's a time and a place for a wedge.
In your 20s.
And yes.
A wedge at the pool in your 20s.
And a time and a place for a chunky shoe in general.
Yes.
Like, I think if you're wearing a chunky shoe, the outfit has to be balanced.
I agree. And I feel like there's, what I am interested, you know how we all got these like sort of like foamy flip-flops and sandals and blah, blah. I feel like those wedges are also, this like Y2K bubble type style is going to be back. And I think that could be like, again, if you handle it correctly. But I really love that like Chloe. Did you see how Sienna Miller styled it? She was in like that lace dress with an oversized leather jacket with like the black leather. Stunning.
They looked amazing.
I was like, I want to go out to lunch in that exact outfit.
I really liked the way they wear on the Chloe runway. And that's where the article stemmed from that I saw. It was like, wedges are back. And it was everyone sitting front row.
And their feet.
And all their feet had the wedges on.
Yeah.
And I was like,
I know.
Crazy.
Gotta pack a wedge for a summer holiday.
Let's do today's topic. And then I think we should follow with industry news.
Okay. How's that?
I'm in. So we want to talk about being a woman in the workplace.
Passionate about this conversation. I feel like I could talk for 6 hours about this.
I know. I think we could do deeper dives into like little topics off of this. I feel like for me, one of my notes here that I wrote is that I don't really feel like, I mean, I did have some bosses in my life that were great, but I feel like most of the people that I worked with, my workplace, I worked in corporate for 6 years, and I would say a lot of it was really toxic bosses, like were most of it.
Were your bosses males or females?
I've only really ever worked with women, with the exception of Barstool.
Yeah. See, because I find that so interesting, because one of the points that I made was like, there are, especially in senior leadership in like the corporate world, in my experience and many others, like there's two types of female managers. And they're the ones that like teach you how to manage up. And then they're the ones that manage you down. Because the ones that teach to manage you up, they want other women to win, to succeed. They want to give you the tools to be confident in your decision making and leading strategy and ideas. And then there are the ones who feel like there's not enough seats at the table for women. And so they want to manage you down so that you are not replaceable for them in other people's eyes. And I cannot deal with those women.
I have dealt with that so many times.
Yeah, so talk about it.
And I don't even know, though, if at the time...
You realized it?
I don't know if they were scared of me taking their job because I was entry level. I think it was more of just, like, a lot of the toxic culture in New York at the time of my working was very reminiscent of, like, the Devil Wears Prada. It was very, I got hazed, therefore I will haze you.
Okay, I see what you're saying.
And I've truthfully never believed in that mindset. I believe in I've been treated shittily, so I want to make your experience pleasant. Whereas a lot of people believe this is the cost
you have to pay. A rite of passage.
Yes.
Yeah. A million girls would kill for that job.
Yes. Whereas I've never believed in that.
Agreed.
And that even goes with, like, I remember even in, like, high school. I'm like, I don't want to I'm sure I was mean to some younger girls because, like, I'm just in high school. But I remember being like, I don't want to bully them because the girls above me bullied me so badly.
Yeah.
Like, it goes with work. You know, I don't want to treat my assistant like shit because they treated me like shit. And so, for me, it's been a lot of that. Like, having just women really, really micromanage me to a point that is so debilitating and suffocating that it makes you like question your self-worth, if you're good at your job, if you're smart.
Yeah. I
had one manager who at the beginning of my career, I really worked in very like resourceful positions where we had really small budgets but big clients, so we had to make big splashy things work with no money.
Scrappy.
And I was scrappy, and that's how I was brought up, and like I could make a $5,000 event look like a $50,000 event. I could do it all. And that's the way I was brought up. And I'm so grateful for that. But then my third job that I went to was different. We were like throwing $2 million events. And we had tons of money. And we were paying people a lot to attend these events. And we didn't have to be scrappy. And I remember feeling really out of my element in that job because it was so much more like red taped.
Yep.
Oh, and really strict. And I remember, I guess my boss thought maybe my skills weren't refined enough because I came from like a really casual place. But by no means was I never capable or smart or any of those things. But she, you know, my first week on the job was like, hey, like just copy me on all your emails just for the first week so I could get a sense until I could let you like fly on your own.
Yeah, totally.
Well, she never let me fly on my own. And it would be to the point where she would redline my email so much that she wasn't actually changing the content of what I was saying. She was just changing the arrangement. Yes. So I would say to a client, like, hi, Maria, how are you? And she would change it to, like, Maria dash. How's today going for you?
It's like, that's the definition of a micromanager. And it's like, babe, what are you really doing? And again, it's so subjective because it's like, your way is not the only way. But for some of these leaders, that's all they know. That's the only way they know how to manage.
It was the most
and that's a micromanager.
Mind-numbing, like demoralizing thing because I felt like I couldn't send an email. Like you start doubting. So then
you feel like you can't get anything right. Like you can't do one step right.
Not one step. And then I started feeling like, am I not smart? Am I not cut out for this? Am I not good? Whereas in my other job previously, I was running client calls. I was like 22 running the show. And now I'm like not scared to send an email because my boss is like making me feel so uncomfortable with every little move. And it was to the point where I wanted to know if it was just me that she didn't like or if I was incapable. So I had this counterpart that sat in the Boston office and we were the same level and her stuff never got redlined.
Why?
So I would message this girl on like Slack and be like, hey, like I have this thing due today and I'm really scared because my emails keep getting torn apart. Could you take a look at it? We got so close, her and I, that she would write my things for me and send them and they would still get torn apart. But if she submitted them, it was in her writing.
If she submitted, I wonder though, okay, so this is another follow-up. Like, I wonder if she submitted your emails in your tone of voice, if they would get ripped up.
I don't think so.
No, because that's just like, because
this girl spent hours with me helping. She didn't get it either. She was like, I don't know why your stuff's getting picked apart. So she sat with me being like, this is what I would say. Mm-hmm. And because her stuff wouldn't get picked apart. She's like, this is what I would say. So I would say what she would say. And it would still get picked apart. And it was to the point where I was just like, I can't win.
Right.
I cannot win. And then I remember this, like, my boss's boss took me aside one day and was like, basically giving me a warning, like, you need to step it up. And I remember just feeling so defeated. Like, this is the first time in my life I think I'm going to get fired because I can't do my job.
Yeah.
But I don't know how to do my job.
Well, yeah, you were never going to win.
It was.
That's like something where I'm just like, people just kind of like chalk it up. It's not culturally a fit, but really it's like that boss just like had it out for you.
Also, she was an awful boss.
Like, well, she sounds like it. She's not managing effectively.
Yes. And I remember one day I finally had a breaking point. And you know, you're always taught don't cry in business. I remember sobbing. I remember having a conversation with her being like, I don't feel like I could do anything right.
Mm-hmm.
And she kind of like her guard came down a little bit and she was like, this is the way I was managed and it made me an excellent worker. So that's the way I manage. And I was like, well, that doesn't work for me because all of this pressure is making me so scared and uncomfortable that I'm making careless mistakes because I feel so uncomfortable.
So and this is a really good point. Finish your point.
But she was kind of like, I hear you. And she loosened up a little bit after that.
Yeah. So here is the thing. And I'm curious how old that woman was because I'm noticing this. And like, I hate to generationalize things or whatever. But like, I do find it is very much a culture shift from like that boomer generation to a millennial. And Gen Z is just like,
yeah,
they're
can't be managed.
Yeah. They're like vibing. I'm so happy for them. But like with these boomers, it was like, as managers, it's like you adapt to them. Mm. But with millennials, like when I manage people, it's like I'm trying to adapt to the individual to help them be like as successful. So like I'm trying to switch and adapt to who the person is on my team. Whereas what sounds like is happening with you and what's happened with me in the past is like the manager is just like, this is their expectation. This is the way mm-hmm. it is. Da, da, da. Mm-hmm. And it's like a different skill set that they never learned as a manager because they never had to.
It's like this is the tone of voice.
Yes.
And you have to fit the tone of voice yes. that we speak in.
Exactly. And it like this like kind of streams into everything and like education and things like that. It's like there are different types of learners. There are different ways to be successful. Like you can be left-brained or right-brained. But, you know, it's very scientific and we can't get into it today. But it actually makes a lot of sense if you think about like different people need different managerial styles and they need to like different people work in different ways and that's okay and they can all be successful in those varying ways so long as you allow them the space to do that but they never learned how.
Yep. And you want to know what's even crazier about that? Had she let me fly, I would have been fine because and I know this now because my client at the time that she wouldn't let me email without her approving every single yes. Even if I was like, hey, here's the report that she approved, she would have to approve that email. That same client that she wouldn't let me have communication with, I switched jobs and I went to a different agency. The agency that I was working with sent an email around being like, hey, guys, we're pitching this new client for new business. Has anyone ever worked on anything similar to this brand before? I replied the email. I'm like, yeah, I worked on that at my last job. I got brought into the pitch. Mm-hmm. I knew everything prior because I worked at the old company. Yes. I helped them come up with the entire pitch. I presented in the pitch room with these people, a Fortune 500 company. I presented at the pitch the entire influencer relations section. I had this entire part in the plan. We won the new business, and I was the account lead on that account.
So there you go.
And it was the same client.
And isn't it that so, I wasn't allowed to email? Like, it's like makes me like sick to my stomach because it's like if that woman just tweaked how she led you as an individual mm-hmm. a little bit, it would have made her look so much better. Not that she, like she probably didn't look bad or good, but it's like I always think about this. It's like your success is my success. It's like something I also say.
Look at this team
because
that
it's
I built.
Like if I just like adapted my needs to help you thrive, that would ultimately help the business thrive. The client would love that. We'd all be thriving. Like everybody wins. It's a very common, like it's a simple concept. But like some people, either they're just not taught that way or their egos get in the way or they're in fear. Like the tech industry, a lot of it is this managing down of like there is only one seat at the table for a woman. Mm-hmm. And so I'm not going to give anybody else the opportunity. But you know what? It's just like, I don't know. I got so many thoughts.
When I won that business and it became my client, I was like, you effing B.
Okay, but don't you also feel like that's like a closure moment for you? Like that's very therapeutic.
Yes, but I'm very, and not in life, but like with my career, I'm very prideful because it's the one thing I could confidently say I think I'm a good worker. Mm-hmm. I'm a Capricorn. Like I am a good worker. And so when people doubt you on something, you know you're neat. Like I know I was a good publicist.
Yes.
And so I know I have had good ideas and I brought good ideas to the table and they would shoot them down. And so I was prideful in the sense of like, whenever someone's ever closed a door on me, I feel so much pride when I open a new door up mm-hmm. and I'm like, haha, see ya. Like nothing, because I'm like, don't fucking doubt me.
Yeah, that's your satisfaction.
It's like when someone tells me
your
I can't do something.
Haters are your motivators.
Yes. I'm like, oh, you think I can't do it?
Watch me.
Watch. I don't care how long it takes.
Watch me. Yeah. Like, but that's a great attitude. That's also an attitude everybody should take in everything that they do. Mm-hmm. Like, I am also very similar. It's like, I am, and I think it comes with age and it comes with experience, but it's like learning that hearing no is just a part of it, and just like dust yourself off and keep going and take that, like let that fuel you, is so incredibly, it's such an important lesson to learn.
Yeah.
However you have to learn it.
I always wonder what it feels like to be one of those people that doesn't get told no in business.
Oh, like the lucky girl syndrome, like, or a man?
No, and I don't even mean this like Alex Earle's a really great example of someone that everyone's currently saying yes to because she's fantastic and she has the reach and the engagement and she's beautiful and has a great personality. She has all of these things. It's like the entire industry has opened their arms to her.
Yes.
I'm sure the best managers, the best stylists, the best hairstylists. And it's like, imagine like, I'm sure that comes with its own set of downfall and awful things and whatever. But my point is like, I've had no's so many times that I'm like, it must be so nice to have your pick of the litter.
Oh my gosh.
You get what I'm saying?
Absolutely. I totally do. I mean, I don't know what that's like either. Mm-mm. I'm living in a no world, but like, I'm okay with it. Like, again, I think a part of what I like is like the buildup, you know? But I do hear you. It's like, I don't even know what that's like. I don't even know where to start.
And I think that builds, I think people saying no to you builds longevity in your career. And
yeah.
And resourcefulness and stamina and all of those things.
But. And I mean, we kind of talked about this with like other creators where it's like everybody has their moment, right? We were sort of talking about this yesterday where it's like there are certain creators where it's like they have that time and the pick of the litter and da-da-da. But like sometimes it can be a fleeting thing. And then what do you do? Like what I really pride myself on, and I think a lot of the no's helped me through, is like I have reinvented myself in like this industry, in my career, however many times I've needed to. And like I've evolved with the times.
Yeah.
To have an incredible, like I think I have a great career. I love my job. Mm-hmm. I love like what I do as a side hustle. I feel like I'm in a really great place professionally, but like there are so many people that I know that have like fallen off along the way, or they can't adapt or keep up or whatever. So like
100%.
I also have a lot of pride in that. And I think that that's a huge part of hearing no and trying again.
100%. I think same goes for me. I did want to talk about the fact that I did do influencing on the side for 2 years, 2.5 years, while also working in PR full time. Mm-hmm. And it's something you currently do, holding a full time job and then making this whole other side career happen. I get a lot of questions from people, as I'm sure you do, about people wondering how to do it or how to pivot in your career. And I think that we are two people that really show that you don't need to quit your job and take a risk. You could actually do two at a time.
You can do both things at once. It's also okay if you don't want to be a full-time entrepreneur, if you want to have a side hustle. It's also okay if you just want a, you know, one-line career.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not easy. I'm sure you also understand it. Like how I really made a point of coming in to record today to be like, I don't want to just complain about how busy I am, because like it's all good things of being busy and like it's a part of all the exciting things to come. But I'm like, doesn't negate the fact that I'm so busy and I'm really tired. But it's because I'm ultimately trying to juggle these two very important things to me. Mm-hmm. And then it's like, what are the trade-offs on the other side, right? Like I'm trading off social time with people. I'm trading off sleep. Like I'm trading off groceries. So like, it's just, you know, you have to figure out what's important to you in the moment. But it's worth it if it's what you want.
Mm. Yeah, I think that's a good point, because for me, when I was doing both, it was like I just was making it work. And I think when you're passionate about something, you don't mind making sacrifices.
Exactly.
Or, you know, there's been times, especially with my job doing this now full time, where if I get a big gig, it's like that could be a quarter of my salary for the year. So like, let's say I've been in situations before where I've had to miss friends' birthdays or weddings or whatever, because it's like my job sometimes falls on weekends or and it's like you do have to just make these sacrifices, and the people around you just have to know that you're doing it and you're going down an untraditional path. But I think that if you're looking to pivot in your career, there's so many things you could do while you're still in your secure job. That's not just like going bonkers one day and quitting your job and switching careers completely.
Yeah. And this was a really important quote that I heard that I put in our notes, because I was like, I think if anybody is like, I I want to start doing two things at once, and I ultimately want it to be an intersection where I go for, you know, take my side gig full time. But it's like, you have to view your job as an investor of your dream. And I think it's such an important, like, it's a great quote that I heard, because it's like, that job is paying for you to have the side hustle, fueling you. I'm sure, depending on the job you have, you can take PTO or time off, like, and you can use that time that's paid to go pursue your passions or build this, like, side gig. I also, like, I'm not looking to not do two things at once, you know what I mean? So, like, what I do as my side gig and all of this work very much complements my 9-to-5 job, and vice versa. And I disclose all of that at work. We're all very open about it, but it's never like taking away. I think they enhance each other. And that's like a really beautiful, lucky thing.
I completely agree. I think when I first started doing my, at the time, blog on the side, I was really nervous that my bosses were going to think it was a conflict, but it actually wound up being like my superpower to them. Because like I said, when I did that new client pitch, they put me in charge of the influencer marketing. I became the influencer marketing specialist because I worked on both sides of the industry. I knew the ins and outs of everything. It gave me actually... it made me a tool for them to use to be like, look, we have somebody on our team who knows.
She only gets it, you're in that space.
And I have connections. Like, we would throw events and I'd be like, oh, all my influencer friends will come.
Exactly. That's exactly how I got started too. Like in this shift, like I was in sales and I shifted over into more of this like influencer and partnership space. And it was exactly the same thing. It was like in Canada and Amazon wanted to do an associates lunch or dinner or whatever. And they were like, we don't have anybody in Canada. And I was like, I'll do it. And I'll just invite all of my friends because I was a blogger, influencer, whatever.
I know them all.
I know where to go. I know these restaurants, so I can get you a deal. I can do this for $5,000. Boom, done. And then you're an asset to the company and to that space. But like, you're also building skills for yourself.
Exactly. So it's like, how do you use both to help feed one another?
Yes.
I do want to ask you, because I talked about a little bit of my experience with my one terrible boss, but I know you've had some tough, I don't know what you're comfortable talking about on the podcast or not, but I just want to hear about your experience as a woman in the workplace, and like, have a lot of your struggles come from working with other women, or have they come from working with other men?
With men, period. Yeah. I am like fortunate with other men. Okay, well, here we go. Take. I am like very fortunate now that I work in a very female dominated company, and I love that. Obviously, like, there's nothing that comes, like, work is work. There's going to be drama, there's going to be stress, but like, I feel really, really fortunate. I actually, before I went into tech, was working in finance with a tech portfolio. I lasted like 2.5 years in the finance world because the misogyny was palpable.
Oh, like, it's crazy.
I could not stomach it. They could not stomach it. Like, I'm a very bright person. So like, I'm this 20-something girl in a skirt suit walking in, and I'm telling this like C-suite man, like old white man, like, oh, I'm managing your portfolio of money. You know what I mean? Like, and I have to go into these meetings. So I dealt with people doubting me, men not wanting me to be like their capital markets, like, or their manager or whatever. Like, I dealt with sexual advances. So very quickly, out of that space. Couldn't stomach it. Wish I could. Great industry if you want to make money.
Like, just, it's really sad.
Couldn't do it. Yeah. It was insane. And then coming into tech, like, I had, you know, I've had like great managers. I've also had like different experiences. And in the tech space, I've had more experiences with female managers, like I said, that were very like, you know, intent on managing down. And fortunately, that hasn't happened where I currently work, but in the past. And like, it was something that I had to learn really quickly of like how to spot these people and how to not let them sort of like take away from my professional advances and how I was going to grow my own career. But I think, you know, looking back, it was some of the worst experiences of my life, definitely. But I think I learned a lot about how to spot those signs in people in the workplace, but also how to protect and be in control of my narrative where I work.
100%. But I feel like the biggest issue is that I faced these things when I was entry level. And I think that's when you have the smallest voice in a company. Yep. Because it was, again, New York City, early, like 2016, 2018. No, I graduated 2013. So this is like a decade ago at this point, and it was a little bit different. We weren't getting paid for overtime. Like, it was before all these things were passed.
Like, internships. I feel like this is like a very millennial versus Gen Z. Like, we didn't get paid for internships.
The way my internships were get canceled for now.
Yes.
Like, yep. I was run ragged. Like, I was interning at fashion houses and at publicity firms, and they did not give me one cent.
Mm-hmm.
Not one cent. And this is what I think now I've learned. It's a privilege to be able to accept an unpaid internship.
Yes.
Because a lot of people can't afford to do an unpaid internship. Yeah. But the thing is, I thought it was a rite of passage. Like, I thought
it was the norm. Like, it was just normal for us. Like, it was just normal.
It was pounded into my head that, like, you will not get a job unless you do these internships there and these unpaid internships. And this is a rite of passage.
Yes. But I also, like, now I'm just like, I'm so fortunate that millennials are managers, and we are like, we are breaking the toxic cycle as much as we possibly can. I'm sure it still exists, but, like, we're really trying to set proper boundaries
even
in the,
like,
workplace.
This overtime law in New York got passed where, like, if you're making under $50,000 a year and you're working overtime, you get paid. You get compensated.
You do?
Something. I don't know because I never got to experience it. Because by the time the law was passed, I was making more than that.
Yep.
So my first job making however much money out of college, making pennies, I was never getting overtime, but I was working weekends, nights, around the clock. And then this thing gets passed, and I'm like, motherfucker.
I know. You're like,
my God.
Yeah.
Can we go back? So it was different times.
It was a different time. I'm very happy to hear that.
I'm happy for the people now. Yeah. Yeah.
But it was a very, very different time. You just had to be accepting that this was the way that it was. And, like, you had to kind of, like, play the game, for lack of a better term. But, like, it was hell.
It's hazing.
And it wasn't nice. Yeah. And it does not, as far as I know, like, will not fly in this day and age at all.
It was the wild, wild west.
Even just, like, having legalities or, you know, sort of, like, checks and balances around diversity now.
Uh-huh.
That's been a shift that's happened in our professional generation.
It just,
like,
started.
Yeah. Like, it's absurd to think that. But that is truly, like, what we're working with and what we were working with.
That's why I was always so thankful to live in New York, because it really, I grew up in, like, such a white town that, like, it wasn't really until college and then after college that I was around diverse people. Mm-hmm. And living in New York, it really just was never a thing. That
right, because it's diverse and it's, like, concentrated.
And I always worked in fashion, so I was always with gay men,
yes,
gay women, black men, black women. Like, it didn't. I can't explain it. Like, I was so fortunate that my life was so. It just,
you had
living
exposure.
In a city. Yes,
you had exposure.
Yes,
which was different than probably a lot of other people that you grew up with or went into different industries. But it's also funny to hear you be like gay men, straight men, like. Black women, white women, because it's like now diversity has even evolved in its definition, which is also a wonderful thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. But at the time, it was just nice because I just felt like I was, like, learning from so many people.
Yes. Yeah.
And I was like, this is so refreshing, like, to live in a big city and get such a different experience, you know?
Yeah.
I feel like LA, though, I don't know if you noticed this, like, I thought New York was progressive. Moving to LA, I'm like, oh my God.
LA is like, you could be whoever. I could identify as a rat if I wanted to.
Yeah, like, living in LA is a whole, I was like, whoa.
Yeah,
like,
it's very much like, you do you, honey.
Yeah, it's really cool. And, like,
I know,
also,
it's one of my favorite parts of living here.
And also LA, like, I feel like the work culture is so different.
Yeah.
Like, everyone has 15 jobs.
Everyone has 15 jobs. Everyone is a multi-hyphenate. People actually are like, oh, it's a beautiful afternoon. I'm going to leave the office. Even, like, people, like, I saw you this morning. It's like, people get up and they go and they, like, leave their office, their house, whatever. And they go work in a cafe. But it's like, everyone doesn't. People talk to each other.
I was working at a cafe today. I brought chai.
Yeah.
Worked for, like, 2 hours there.
And, like, people want to go. I always say this about LA is, number one, this is, like, the first place that I've lived. And, I mean, Toronto was fine. But it's like, I could genuinely be whoever I want to be here. And nobody is, like, judging of that. They're like very, like they embrace it.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. It's so
it's
open.
It's like, I can truly be who I want and nobody bats an eye. And I say be who I want in the sense of like, I'm like a straight woman, but I'm just like, yeah, I want to have this job and do this and da, 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 da. And like nobody blinks an eye. But it also is just like, there are majority of people I would assume are not from LA. So everybody is looking to build community. Mm. So people are very open to meeting new people.
Yes, almost every person is a transplant.
Yes, yeah.
Like, it's very common that you're meeting people that aren't from here.
I know.
It's, yeah, it's really the city of angels.
The city of angels of dreams.
It really is. Okay, if there are anything specifically with workplace that you guys want us to touch on.
I have one point to make about workplace.
Tell us all about it.
Because this is the number one thing I learned growing up, and I actually attribute a lot of my success to this, so I have to say it. Again, whether you want to be an entrepreneur, whether you want like a professional career going through big corporate companies like I've had on one side of my life, like networking, I can't say it enough. And we talked about getting out of your comfort zone last week. Mm. The same thing can be said for networking, because it's just like, that is where you build relationships. I have never, since like a very first entry-level job, like I have never not gotten my job out of my network. Like, it's like, I'm working at a big three bank in Canada, and somebody's like, oh, come work for Google. You don't want to be in finance? Come work for, Google, come work for Amazon. Come work for Pinterest. It's, I've never not gotten my job through a referral, through a network. So, like, I can't stress, even though I know a lot of people, it's, like, uncomfortable for them, but, like, find industry events, go to, like, one a month or one every 2 months, and just say, I'm going to walk in this room and I'm going to talk to three people. I'm going to get three people's LinkedIns or, you know, something like that. Make like a little game of it for yourself and then you can leave.
I think that's a great tip, because I remember my sister was at a job for multiple years, like 7 or 8. Mm-hmm. And I remember when she was looking for a new job, she was like, I haven't networked in 8 years. She was like, I can't believe I stopped, because now it's like, you know, I don't know anyone in the industry anymore. And I remember she made a mental note of like, I'm never going to let that happen again, even if I'm comfortable in my role.
Yes.
I always want to network. And I think that that's really important. For me, I had a little bit of opposite experience where like I got all my jobs through just persistence, not networking necessarily. It was me just like finding like HR emails and like not leaving them alone. But what I've noticed about my network is that the people that you start with, the people that I started those unpaid internships with, when we were crying together in New York City at 10 p.m. because we were starving.
You haven't eaten yet.
Yes. Yeah. Those people now, I'm 33, they're probably 33. Those people now run businesses.
Yes.
And we all came up together. And it's like, who's where? And we all help each other. It's like, hey, I see you doing this. I see you doing that. I still talk to all the people I interned with. I talk to the people from my first job, from my second job. When I moved to LA, I would go to a party my first week here and I'd run into someone from New York.
Yeah.
Then this week, for example, I'm sitting in a boutique on Abbot Kinney and someone walks in and she's like, hey, good to see you. I'm like, oh my God, she's a producer at Good Morning America. Like, my point is we all stay connected.
So, and you all come back in some way at some point.
So it's like when you're at the bottom, don't forget the people that you're there with. Mm-hmm. Because
That's another really great point.
You're all going to have your own companies.
I know.
Or be working in great, amazing positions. And like, you're going to be the people that could help each other.
Yeah. So that's a great tip too.
Yeah. And if you guys, like I said, have anything that you want us to touch on specific to career, we could obviously go way more in depth. I think that there's so many conversations that could branch off of this. But let's chat a little bit of industry news.
Let's do it. Because I don't know. I actually just saw a bit of it from today, but I thought this was a really brilliant PR play. Was Alex Cooper with her Unwell Network at South by Southwest launched Big Al's. She had a bar pop-up for the weekend at South by Southwest. She had Harry Jowsey, Madeline, I forget her last name, and Alex Earl, the people on her Unwell podcast network, and they threw bar nights. And I just thought it was so, it's like the perfect.
And they had Carbone sponsor.
Yes, and they had Carbone sponsor. It was just like the perfect marriage for her brand and what they're trying to do.
And it was a great event to do it at. Instead of doing it at a Pinterest or
yeah.
a Pinterest.
I'm Am I okay?
So like a Coachella?
Instead of doing it at a Coachella or one of those events where things get lost, I think doing it at a South by Southwest was a really good move because there's so many industry people there.
I was going to say,
because
it's industry driven. Yes. And so it also has like an element of being taken more seriously while also being in the tone. But I wanted to talk to you about this and I saved it for the podcast because I was curious. So do you think she took a page out of like Barstool's playbook, given that, like, you know, Barstool, like you saw this with Chicken Fry, Brianna Chicken Fry and whatever, like
the tour.
They go to like college campus tours. Like, it's like we see Kendall Jenner doing this now too with 818.
I did
like
see Kendall doing this.
She's basically saying, I'm going to bring that college campus bar to experience to South by Southwest. And like, I'm sure that you get like a ticket to go, or it was a lottery or whatever. And I'm wondering, like, did she take that? Did she see that working and that sort of model happen? And she's like, I'm going to do the same thing.
I don't know, because I do think it's not uncommon for people to do these like pop-up events. Mm-hmm. I think what she did, which was really smart, was she knows who her audience is and they're young, drunk girls.
Yeah.
At least that's what they started as. Maybe now they've matured with her. Yeah. But I think she's still feeding into that college party scene. Yes. And yes, she could very well, because it is working. Like, I saw Kendall Jenner doing it and I was like, she took a page out of Brianna's book, like that, the college tour. I agree. I think everyone draws inspiration from people, even if they don't know necessarily where it's coming from.
Yeah.
You know?
No, I hear you. It was, but I just thought it was a really, really smart
I thought it was
play.
Really brilliant, too. The one thing that does confuse me is how both Alex's nicknames are Big Al.
Are they?
Yes. And I'm confused because, but they obviously aren't in competition. They work together. They're very friendly. But it always, like, throws me off that neither of them changed it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, of course.
I just thought that was like a funny anecdote. And then the other thing that I wanted to talk about in the industry news was that I saw this employee from e.l.f. Cosmetics do a video, videos, being like, get ready with me for a trip to Cabo with e.l.f. Cosmetics. And she was doing an unboxing of an entire PR gift that they sent her. And basically, e.l.f. was sending their employees PR packages, and then they had this big employee trip and they took them all to Cabo, and this girl was documenting it. And I feel like after the Tarte trip, it was a week after, it was such a great time to be like, look at this other cosmetics company doing this for their employees.
That is,
I know. Kiss. And I feel like she was the only one on the trip making content that I saw.
Yeah.
I'm sure other people were posting on Instagram or whatever, but I just thought that it was such a great, brilliant PR play to flip the concept on its head and reward the people that are working hard for you.
I think that is so smart. I need to look at this piece of content after, but also look it up.
Yeah.
Because again, it's like, I think to your point too, also the timing in like the post Tarte, and everybody had talked about Tarte, and it was like this like drunken thing and da 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 da, and like coming right off of, you're also getting a lot of that buzz and people are comparing it, but you are like, you look better in that situation as e.l.f. Cosmetics.
Yep. I thought it was,
that is so smart. But then also creating the influencer experience for your employees and having those employees, hopefully at least one of them did, like document it like an influencer. Like it was just like so fun and
just
fresh.
That one influencer doing it and going viral was enough.
Yes.
Like they just like, it was just, I think, brilliant and I think smart and I think deserved for the employees. And I just thought the timing was impeccable. I know they obviously couldn't have planned it with the Tarte trip, but just the timing
was incredible. Couldn't have been better.
It couldn't have been better. I thought it made them look really great. Let's spill a little tea, shall we?
Oh my gosh, yes. There's a lot.
Shall we end with Kate?
Yes.
Since it's a big one.
Yes.
The one thing we wanted to talk about is there was a picture that surfaced of Margot Robbie with the author of ACOTAR. What's the author's name?
Sarah J. Maas.
Sarah J. Maas. There was a picture of them after it was rumored that Margot was going to direct the ACOTAR film.
So, produce.
So,
they met at a coffee shop. Mistake. And for some reason, people spotted SJM, as we call it.
Amazing. Iconic.
By the back of her head. And they're like, wait, after Barbie, is Margot looking for her next, like, big piece to produce, and is it going to be the ACOTAR series? So I don't know if you know, but like Fourth Wing, Iron Flame, Michael B. Jordan's production company is doing that for Prime Video.
Really?
Yeah.
Is he? Does he produce anything that I know that's been, like, spectacular?
I think he did the Rocky Creed movies.
Oh. It's just such a random...
Yeah.
Like, I don't... I feel like Margot feels like such a nice fit because it's, like...
Girly.
Girly, yeah. I'm like, this is smut. Like, we need women.
I know.
Book it for him.
I know, but we'll see. And then, yeah, if that happens, seeing the success of Barbie... I don't think I'm going to be able to, like, emotionally process how great this, like, film, book-to-film
Avatar
series
was
could potentially
my sexual
be.
Awakening. Like, Sean is... I have Sean because I read Avatar and then Fourth Wing. Fourth Wing specifically, I was reading that book in Europe.
And that
was really getting me going.
So, wait, you did the Avatar series and then you then read I did Fourth Wing. That's
and
what I did, too.
At that point, I was just like... I was so in my feminine from reading those books.
Because they're horny as fuck.
And I was like, I'm going to take this stuff to the streets.
Yes, good for
and
you.
And I had a boyfriend a week later.
I swear to God.
Like, just like the energy,
that is
guys. I'm talking
feminine
about the
energy. You're just ready to be a slut.
No, because nothing like, and nothing even happened with Sean and I. Like,
I know.
I'm a good girl.
Very conservative.
But my point is, like, I just had, it gave me this, like,
it
ignited
gave you the confidence.
This, yes, where I was like, oh my God, I want to be fun and flirty.
Yes.
Like, this book is just, it
you
made
want to
me,
be bold.
Yes, it made me feel so, like, empowered. I don't know why.
I love that.
And I was like, oh.
I know. It
gotta
was
take
really,
this energy with
really
me.
Great.
Best books,
and it's
guys.
True. When you read them all, like, I feel that way now. Like, I just read
yes.
them. But, like, you really do feel like I'm, like, I can go out and be, like, a bad bitch.
I was buzzing off
yes.
those books. And I'm currently.
Our small, frail brunettes.
Yeah.
Those, they really did it for
they
us.
They really did it for us. It was more so the men, though.
I know.
Okay, right, Sand.
But
Oh my god! I love them. I'm currently reading Iron Flame.
Okay,
having a harder time getting through it, but it will be okay. I'll get through probably this week. But anyway, if she were to produce that, it would be absolutely incredible. Either way, I just hope they get the casting spot on. With
it's
this.
So hard. Okay, so wait, I want to talk about this too. I know we have to roll through
yeah.
things, but I really feel, like I feel very serious about the fact that. When they did Twilight and they kind of casted a lot of these no-names, mm-hmm. like, I liked that.
Oh, yeah, they have to cast
no-names.
I think
they have to cast
no-names. No, they
no
have
names.
To. Because that's also what they did with Outer Banks and, like,
yeah,
The Summer
Hunger
It Turns
Games.
Pretty. And yeah, like, I feel like you have to do a new
I can't
budding.
Have any attachment to that person
no.
previously.
And I had that problem, this is really random, but with Austin Butler and Elvis, because I'm like, that's the man from the Carrie Diaries. Like, I couldn't see Elvis in him because I'm like, that's Austin Butler.
Yeah.
Like, you need to cast someone that people
you
don't have
no
an
association with.
Yes.
Yes. Okay, yeah, so I feel very strongly about that.
Me too. Also, like,
Margo,
like normal
notes.
People.
Oh,
like, we loved
yes.
it because we didn't know them.
Yes, yeah.
And they were amazing.
I know.
Let's talk about, really briefly, Lala Kent announced that she's pregnant.
Yeah, let's do a little reality corner.
Yes, and I was obsessed with this because the reason why is, like, obviously knowing she wants kids, she's talked openly about it.
Mm-hmm.
But I just love the fact that she's just doing things on her own so
yes.
confidently and doing things on her timeline, I think it's really admirable.
It's extremely admirable. And I love that she said, like, I want this. I'm committed to this. And she actually went out and did it. Because I'm
yeah.
not going to lie. Like, I, even when she was talking about this and, like, kind of joking or alluding to wanting a sperm donor on the show last year, I was like, yeah, yeah, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, sure, lots of people
mm-hmm.
say that. But, like, she went and did that thing.
Yeah.
And I love that.
One thing to say it and
yes.
another thing to do it.
Yeah.
And I just thought it was really cool.
It is really cool. And she looks beautiful. And I don't know.
Amazing.
I'm, like, all for Lala Kent. I love her sobriety. I love how she helps other people feel empowered in it. Like, I think this, like, era and chapter of her, I really, really enjoy.
Of all of, like, the cast members, like, Lala in person, to me, has always been one of the most warm, welcoming,
mm-hmm.
nice people. And I know that on the show, she's loud and it's one thing. My experience with her off camera, like, is she's so
yeah.
extremely lovely. Like, her mother,
yes.
like, she's just very, very, very nice and down to earth. So I'm really happy for the news.
Yes.
Like, I really am. Oh, speaking of Vanderpump, the Valley keeps dropping new trailers.
I mean, and they picked up cameras. Did you see that? They picked cameras back up.
For what?
Because Jax and Brittany announced their separation.
I love how Bravo keeps doing this.
I know. So I saw this on somebody's Instagram last week, but they just did this new teaser today. And it premieres in a week.
Yeah.
This teaser.
Iconic.
Made me, like, I was already all in, of course, but, like, this teaser, I was like, wait, we've got a show.
Well, we should mention, we're also so all in because we are very good friends with one of the couples on the show. Yes. As well as, I honestly know a lot of, 50% of the cast, Jasmine, Janet, Jason, Brittany, Jax, like, we know a good chunk of them, so it's, obviously, we're in because, like, our friends are on it, and
That's what I mean. I was always in, but this trailer, I was like, this is a Bravo show. But, like,
even my sister, who doesn't know these people, and everyone's kind of like, oh, The Valley, she texted me today, she's like, The Valley looks so good.
I'm
like,
I know.
And I think that it's going to be really good. I'm excited for, like, a fresh new show.
Yep.
I think that they have, like, this, like, obviously premiere party, and, like, I wanted to get invited, but they're not allowing, like, anyone to go. They're being super tight-lipped. Ooh. So I don't think we're going to – I'm going to get to go to the premiere, but that's okay. I just am happy to watch it.
Like, I'm happy to watch it,
too. I'm just happy to be a part of it and watch it from a distance.
Yeah.
And see what the hell is happening.
I mean – I've heard great things.
I was going to say, I know too much, so, like, it's going to be hard to recap. But all I'm going to say is it's going to be good.
It's going to be good.
And I'm really excited, and follow my friend Janet. Oh, and then a little update. If you guys are like me and you love bad Hibbly television, Hibbly stands for hate it but love it. It's when you hate something so much that you love it. Tune into Couple to Throuple on Peacock. Horniest show I've ever seen in my life. I'm talking about progressive. I've never seen a more progressive show in my life. It's all about couples that want to be thruples and they want to be polyamorous, and it's something. It is something.
And
it
doesn't they have, like, sex therapists on it to help walk them through things and stuff? Yes, too.
And there was, like, full boobs out. Oh. Like, I've never seen, like, naked reality stars. Like, it was
naked.
It's X-rated. Like, I was like, whoa, what am I watching?
That's what happens on Peacock.
Yeah. I didn't know Peacock was so wild.
Uncensored. You know what's so crazy? This is such a random thing. I don't know if anybody else spotted this. I was watching Summer House last week on Bravo on television, and there was an F-bomb that they didn't bleep out, and I was like, wait, did they screw up the
Peacock? Why? They don't do F-bombs on Bravo?
No. On cable? No.
I don't know. I just am not. I'm like, not keen. I don't.
No, they always boop it out.
Interesting.
Yeah.
They made a little.
It was an F word.
Kerfuddle. What's it called? Yes. So, yeah, Couple to Throuple if you're looking for just a new Hibbly show. And then what we've all been waiting for. Princess Kate. Is she? Isn't she? Are these pictures of her real? Are they fake? What's happening? We have our expert.
I truly.
On site. So we're going to get a debrief from Lex.
I'm like, you know where we last left off.
Well, she hadn't been seen at all.
She hadn't been seen at all. Then we got the grainy drive-by around Windsor Palace with her mom.
We got a photo of her grainy in a car, which people initially already started being like, that's not her, blah, blah, blah.
And so here's the thing, and I would also love your take as I give this rundown as a PR person. If I were the royal family and I was like, fine, I'm going to have the internet pressure me into doing this or Kate doing this, I would have had her do that drive-by, and I would have taken that and ridden it all the way to Easter when we said we would see her next, okay?
Yeah, yeah. So Instead of trying again. I agree. I also thought it was funny because it was so obviously strategic, because the rumblings about her missing from the spotlight were getting so loud that they were making mainstream news, not just like royal family people that are obsessed.
Like Cosmo, People, all the outlets were like, where's Kate?
And the timing was so transparent, which I get it. They want to show us, look, here she is. But they also could have just released something like, hey, guys, we hear you. We told you. Well. Easter.
Well, they did do that and people
still didn't care.
Yeah, because the way that they did that was like kind of snappy. It was like a little bit
like we told testy. You this.
Yes. And so then they did this photo with the drive-by, which yes, timing. I'm sorry. You can't tell me that like that.
Oh no, it was completely plotted and planned. Also, how do we even know it's from that date?
We didn't.
An old photo.
Yeah, we don't know, but we assume. I was ready as an audience to like put it to bed with that. I was like, okay, great. All we wanted to do was see
her. She's walking and not walking, like she's alive.
We see her, she's spotted. We've spotted her. Let's wait till Easter. I was ready. Okay. And then, Kensington Palace said, we're going to be Bravo TV. Cameras back up.
Cameras back up. Let's get this thing rolling
and
again.
They were like, let's post a photo of Kate with the kids on UK Mother's Day and say that this photo was taken by William. So that happened over the weekend. And then the internet.
So where did they post that photo?
On the like Prince and Princess of Wales social media. Yeah. So like Twitter, Instagram.
And so they did say William took the photo?
Yes.
So
they very specifically said William.
So I'm confused.
Okay. I know.
Okay.
I know.
So.
So they specified William took the photo.
And it was a picture of Kate with the children. I personally wouldn't have noticed anything. I thought it kind of looked a little like.
Also, I'm not looking.
It looked a little like stiff or something.
Yes.
But like, I'm like, whatever. And then all of a sudden we are at the Oscar event and Lex sees an article pop up on her phone from the Associated Press that says they are issuing a kill to the photo, which means they are taking the photo down, and basically saying this photo has been altered with, we apologize for publishing it. We do not think that this is like good to report because the photo is not real.
Yes. They basically said that the source that provided this photo manipulated it. And so we are removing it from our outlets. The source being the royal, like Kensington Palace, the royal family, their comms team. So like, this all is just getting weirder and weirder. And then we wake up this morning.
This is the weirdest part.
This
is the weirdest part of the whole thing.
The weirdest part. We wake up to...
Wait, really quick.
Before you say.
Remember last week, I was like, I wish Kate could just get on her phone and be like, hey guys, it's me. She did.
I manifested this. Oh my gosh, I forgot she you did said it. That.
Apparently.
Alyssa.
I know.
This is your fault.
So Kate put out a statement today.
Kate put out a statement that read, like many amateur photographers, I do occasionally experiment with editing. I wanted to express my apologies for any confusion the family photograph we shared yesterday caused. I hope everyone celebrating had a very happy Mother's Day. C. Now, off the top, I gotta clarify, C stands for Catherine. A lot of people didn't know that.
No, I was shocked. I was like, what the fuck is C? I was like, I thought it
like
was...
Like, she goes by Kate, but it's Catherine with
I know,
a
but
C.
I thought it was K with a Kate.
Yeah, I know. People thought it was Catherine with a K. It's Catherine with a C. Yes.
But is it Kate with a K?
Yes.
That's weird.
I know.
If your name starts with a C, you go by C-A-T-E.
Yes.
Kate.
Yes.
That's why I was like, what? I figured, but I was like, that's weird. The thing that's weird is if William took the photo, why is Kate the amateur photographer? And also, as an expert, did we know she's a photographer?
Yes.
Okay.
So one of the hobbies when they got married that Kate took up to appeal to the public and make them seem more normal and like young. Kate was like a photography hobbyist, but then like their, you know, children's portraits or Christmas cards or blah, blah, like Kate took a lot of the photos as a budding photography hobbyist. So I think what they're trying to imply here is like William took the picture and then Kate decided to get on Facetune and edit the fuck out of it.
Kate's like,
yeah, retouch. And so what is odd, though, is that language is like they very clearly stated William took the photo. So like if you don't have the context that I have as like a royal obsessed, you wouldn't know. Like it's just like a weird thing to say.
The entire thing is
but there's one freaking more bizarre piece. Okay, so today there was like a Commonwealth service at, I forget which church it was, but they had a church service. And the whole family went, William goes, and post a photo in the Daily Mail, and it's William and Kate in the car, but her head is turned away from the photographer and the cameras, and then the headline reads, Princess Catherine joins William in car ride to Commonwealth service. She is not expected to attend. So we get the back of her head, but she's not attending the service.
And why is she in the car? Why
correct.
She go, so she just goes
for the drive. And I'm just like, what are you all doing at this point? You are asking for speculation.
Well, their publicist needs to be fired.
Agreed.
Like, this is getting crazy. This is an OG publicist that's probably like 85 now. Like, they're too old. They're not with social media. Like, they need to hire someone young and new because this isn't working. And also, what I find super confusing about this whole thing is I want to know, like, are people speculating what specifically in the photo was manipulated? Like, are there any of those people on TikTok being like, if you look here, her hand is weird. Like, what are people saying? Because one of my friends said to me, and this is alleged, she has no basis of saying this, she seemed to think that Kate was potentially in a wheelchair and it was photoshopped out.
Oh.
It is giving wheelchair, like the way she's sitting.
The way she's sitting, so this is like, this was like shared on Demois, so I'll share it here.
Yeah.
I didn't want to share it last week, but like they brought it up, not me, but I've heard this from multiple people, is that Kate has Crohn's disease. And so her surgery, her abdominal surgery, was like a bowel or colon surgery, and you have the OSPE bag that you have to carry around. So like the way she's sitting, all of this like does reflect somebody who would have had that surgery. It's very, very... So they think that she had like a colon surgery or a bowel surgery. And that's why it would make sense why she's sitting like that and she's recovering. And maybe if she's taking medication or a steroid medication.
Chai has joined us and she's really hyper.
That would cause her to gain weight in her face and things like that. Because a lot of people were like, oh, well, that person, they've gained more weight in their face, so on and so forth. And I'm like, well, she could with her medication.
But not for nothing. Just tell us.
Yes. But they can't tell us,
why?
Which is the problem, because something's wrong.
I feel like, Chai, we don't bite hair, mama. I feel like what they have to do is just be like, look, this is what's going on. Like, the way they've been so transparent about, what's his name's colon? His prostate.
King
they
Charles.
Don't seem to care.
Yeah.
These people are all about talking about.
But that's what I'm saying. And this is what I always stand by. Like, I need to say this in every time I speak about this, because people are always like, give her privacy, blah, blah. When she married Prince William, she became a public servant.
Yeah.
They fund their lives through UK taxpayer dollars. She does not have the right to privacy. She does as a human being, but it's like she gave that away in becoming the princess and being a public servant. So people have a right to know where she is. So for them to say she's going to be gone for 3 months was weird. And also, for them to now throw her under the bus instead of themselves or anybody else alludes to the fact, like, it brought me back to the time of Harry and Meghan, where it was like, they always threw, with the whole, all the Prince Andrew, Jeffrey Epstein stuff, they always, it was Harry and Meghan front and center. There was also this article talking about, like, Kate being a difficult person to deal with, says source. They literally just changed the image and the name to Harry. I'll find this and I'll show you so you can see it, but, like, they always used them as a scapegoat. And they were like, we want privacy. We want protection. They never gave it to them. So they left the royal family. And now they actually have nobody left to throw under the bus. And they're not going to throw William under the bus.
I wonder
she's the bottom
if
of the
it's pool. Ever going to, like, do you think Kate's eyes are open to what they do to her? They have to be.
They have to be. I just feel like in marrying William, there had to be some sort of formal agreement made of, like, you are the first commoner that is marrying into the royal family. Like, your rights are dusted, babe. Like, you got to know what you're signing up for. And she did that because they were in love. But this is the other thing is now there are some British media outlets that are, like, soft launching Prince William's alleged mistress, Lady Cholmondeley. And they're like, who is she? So many facts. And I'm like, do we have a Camilla situation here? Like a Camilla Diana
That's what I'm wondering. I think the best thing for Kate, honestly, is for him to move on and for her to live a life outside of the royal family. I don't think the royal family is safe for women.
No.
Period.
No.
I've always been team Meghan and Harry. I obviously don't know as much as you. I don't believe they were treated right.
They definitely weren't.
And I think there's truth. Why would they, I just believe that things are not what they appear on the outside.
And, like, you have to understand, these are not rational people like you and I. These are people who grew up as royals. Like, yes. Charles, yeah. William, like, they grew up
they have no clue.
They don't know, like...
Their perception's off.
William, or Charles was, like, signing his name as the king, and, like... He signed his name and nobody took his pen right away out of his hand, and he started throwing a hissy fit. Like, these are not rational people. They've been spoiled and doted on and waited on their entire lives. Wow. They don't have, like, skill, you know, a normal social, way of thinking. Yeah. So it's just really, really weird. And to my point, they should have given us that grainy drive-by photo and left it at
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I agree.
They kept trying to do the most for whatever reason. Now this morning. And it's like, they've blown it. Now, I don't believe a word you say until I see that woman holding up a sign saying March 17th, 2024, talking like a hostage.
Until there's a live broadcast on television that she is a part.
I don't believe you for a damn second.
I don't believe one of the photos. I don't believe the timelines now. They've completely lost trust.
Yes. Yeah.
They've not that they've ever really had it.
They've lost
it. But now they really lost it. And the British media for so long loved Kate. And it's like to see them now throwing her under the bus.
Is so terrifying.
These people will stop at nothing.
Nothing.
It's nuts. Yeah. So we will continue to keep you guys posted week to week on that. But this was a long one today, so I hope you guys enjoy. No, it was good. It was good. It was about the same as last week. So
I had fun. Chai, did you have fun, baby?
I think you did.
Okay, we'll see you all next week.
We'll see you guys next week.
Bye. Bye.